you can probably see now why MOOCs are so interesting. It's quite clear there are a lot of issues with them, both for and against, and they're still very much a work in progress. We're still learning a lot about this kind of education and what it's good for and what it isn't. So if I can take some of the questions that I asked here and start with the first one, are MOOCs just another form of educational broadcasting? Well, certainly they're very similar in terms of the audience characteristics, the way that participants behave, but they do use different technologies and they are different in their production, how they're made. They're very different. So I think, yes, it's a good analogy in terms of how audiences behave, how participants behave, but they are, in terms of design and development, quite different. The second question and the fourth question about their costs, I'd like to roll my answers together on that, and particularly looking at the costs of credit courses versus the costs of MOOCs. And I think one of the things that's really noticeable about the early MOOC promotion was the total deliberate avoidance of any reference to the previous work done on online credit courses. And we'll talk about that more in the next issue. But the issue here is that credit-based online courses are part of well-recognized degrees and other qualifications. So it's a question of the reliability of the currency of MOOCs and can they be considered equivalent to credit-based courses. And I think there are two issues here. One is what the costs are, and the second are what the benefits are. Now, the costs here, even if you allow for the enormous dropout, this cost per certificate student is graduating for a MOOC is a lot cheaper than for a student graduating from a credit course. But is it the same standard? Do they meet the same requirements? Are they teaching the same things? And I would argue that generally they're not. MOOCs are much more focused on content transmission, particularly ex-MOOCs. And online learning covers a wider range, although online learning can also focus just on content presentation. But what's the value of a MOOC, I think, is not yet established because institutions won't even accept their own MOOC certificates for admission to the university or for credit. So until that happens, I don't think they can be considered equivalent. I think that the main value for MOOCs is actually for the institution rather than for students. I think students who are interested in purely non-formal education, just wanting to learn something about a topic, they're fine, although there are a lot better forms of non-formal education, such as educational broadcasting, for instance. But for the institution, it's a very useful way of branding the institution, of marketing the institution. But I think the benefits are greater for the institutions than they are for the individual learners. And the third question, could you make the case that CMOOCs are a better value proposition than XMOOCs? Are they too different to compare? Well, I don't think it's a cost issue here. I think it's an epistemological issue or a pedagogical issue. I think that CMOOCs are trying to do something very different from XMOOCs. They're more a form of community of practice. They are much more focused on students learning from each other. XMOOCs are much more about content delivery and assessment. And I think it's a value judgment about what kind of learning is more important. And if we can come to the last question, do you think institutions give credit for students successfully completing MOOCs? Well, I think they should if the assessment is equivalent. In other words, if the students took the same exams as credit-based students taking the same topics, then yes, they should give credit for them. But in fact, they're not the same. They're different tests. They're usually multiple choice tests. They're not examinations in the sense that many online credit courses are exams. So it is important to measure the output here as well as the costs. And if the output is different, then the fact that the costs are cheaper makes it less valid and less important. You can always cut costs if you want to reduce the quality of education. To sum up in terms of their strengths and weaknesses, I think MOOCs are interesting. I think they are valuable as a form of non-formal education. But they're not a solution for reducing the costs of conventional higher education, because they're not a substitute for conventional higher education. And incidentally, there are real costs associated with MOOCs, in the sense, particularly opportunity costs, of the question to be asked is, would your top professors be better investing their time in developing credit-based courses that would lead to student qualifications rather than a major publicity exercise in reaching thousands of students who won't actually complete anything very useful for them?